Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, it's good to see everybody here this morning, or almost everybody, anyway. Oh, and for you in the Facebook audience, we would like to welcome you also to Lexington Christian Church, and we hope you get a blessing out of the service this morning. Not much in the way of announcements today. Our monthly business meeting is scheduled for tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We'll try to keep our distance as much as we can as we finally get back to some of the business of the church. Bloodmobile is here on the 17th, or so they tell. Not here, Cumberland Creek.
Yeah.
Cumberland Creek on the 17th, and you have to call for reservations. It's by appointment only. And the number to call is in your bulletin. See, Mitch, do you have anything else we need to know about?
Just let everybody know that
if you don't know already, I'll be out of town this week. I'm going to Texas with Mark, and we're leaving shortly after church this morning. I'll be back Friday, but I'll have my phone, so if anybody needs to contact me, feel free to call. But I'll be back Friday evening, so Saturday I'll be here. Sunday I'll be here.
Good.
That means no classes this week, including this evening.
Okay.
Oh, and next Sunday morning we will have Sunday school.
Sunday school starting next Sunday. Huh?
Yes.
Started this Sunday. We didn't know about it.
Yeah, we didn't use the book. We
didn't
waited. We waited. We didn't use the book. Good. We just had covered something else.
Okay. Well, happy birthday, America.
Amen.
We always like to honor our veterans at on a holiday like this. Wilma, do you have some appropriate music for some of these organs?
We're going to sing happy birthday to everybody else later.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But you need to call out.
I won't know until you start the music. What was that? That was the Navy. Anybody here in the Navy? I know we got one squid in here. Two? Okay, two from the Navy. What's next, Marines? Any Marines in the audience? No, no Marines, never mind. Don't you love organization? What about the Army? For Fred, Fred's not here, but Mary is. Anybody else an Army vet? No? Who's left? The Air Force?
Yeah.
Me? Anybody else? You mean the official militia or the unofficial? There we go. Okay, is there anyone in the congregation that has a birthday this week? Not? Anniversaries? No anniversaries. Well, in that case, let's take a look at the prayer list. Is there anyone who needs to be added to or removed from the prayer list this week? Penny?
I'd like to add my brother-in-law, Doug Heimer.
Okay.
He's been in the hospital and he's home. He had heart issues. And you can probably take Rodney off. He's doing really good and he doesn't have any treatment.
Okay.
Amen.
Got him. All right. Doug Heimer goes on. Rodney Shields comes off. Anyone else? Mary? Okay. Scott Heidegger. Mike? David Higgins. Is he? Is that it? Okay, then, let's turn to number 602. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Let's stand and sing. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land of my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside let freedom ring. My native country thee, land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees sweet freedom's song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. Our fathers, God to thee, author of liberty, long may our land be bright with freedom's hope. we're still standing, let's turn to number 169. 169, I Need Thee Every Hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, Brother Mitch, will you take us to the Lord in prayer, please?
Absolutely. Father God, we are so blessed, so privileged, not just because we're Americans, but because we're part of your kingdom, a part of your family. Our freedom exists because of you and only because of you. So we give you thanks and we give you praise as we celebrate that freedom that you have given. America's original plan was based on your word, based on the things of your goodness. Lord, we are grateful. And Lord, we ask that you continue to bless America, that you continue to bless the church, your family. Be with us this morning. Fill this place with your presence. Let us leave closer to you than we came. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now you may be seated. Sometimes old habits just kick in, don't they?
Yes, they do.
As we ready our hearts and minds for communion, let's turn to number 262.
Amen.
My Jesus, I love thee.
Yes.
I know thou art mine.
Amen.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary. Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath, and say, Jesus, 'tis now. In mansions of glory and endless delight, ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a Jesus is now.
Amen.
Amen. This time I'd like to ask Brother Jim Rominger to give our communion meditation and prayer, please.
Okay, if I can see this. Tried to get this enlarged, but no luck, so it's small. And I picked for a piece from the Bob Russell Ministries. It's the world's most impressive memorial. It says, what do you think is the most impressive memorial in Washington, D.C.? Our forefathers knew people quickly forgot, so they erected numerous monuments and statues to remind us of the price that was paid for our freedom.
Amen.
What is the most impressive to you? The towering Washington Monument? The stately Jefferson or Lincoln Memorials? It says there are numerous shrines in Washington to remind us of the significant events, the World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Amen.
To me, the most impressive, the most effective, is the Vietnam Memorial. It's not impressive in size or architecture. It's just a wall. But written on the wall are the names of 58,195 individuals who sacrificed their lives on behalf of their country. So the Vietnam Wall is the most impressive because you don't just see it, You can walk right up to it and touch it. I've observed people search and search until they find a name of a relative, neighbor, or classmate. They touch it lightly with their fingers and then brush away a tear. They may take a piece of paper and a pencil and trace the name and take it home. They walk away wiping their nose, shaking their head. They remember that's the intent of a memorial, to assure that we remember and appreciate the past. The most impressive memorial is one that accomplishes that purpose. I would suggest to you that the most profound and effective memorial of any kind is the Lord's Supper.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus knew we are inclined to forget. So on the night before he sacrificed his life, Jesus took a loaf of bread and a cup of juice and said to his followers, "This is my body, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Communion was established so that we would never forget what he did for us. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we participate in a sacred observation that reveals the wisdom and genius of God.
Amen.
It's interactive. Communion involves all five senses. We see it, touch it, smell it, taste it, and even hear it as we crunch the wafer that is crushed in our mouth. Paul called the Lord's Supper a participation in the body and blood of Christ.
Amen.
It's symbolic. The unveiling unleavened bread symbolized that Jesus' life had no sin.
Amen.
The grape juice, the result of crushing of grapes, reminds us that Jesus was crushed for us.
Amen.
The juice is blood colored, reminding us Jesus' blood was poured out for the cleansing of our sins. It's portable. You don't have to travel to Jerusalem or Washington, D.C. or Mecca to participate. It's easily made available to you wherever your local church assembles. It's permanent.
Amen.
Jesus told his followers, "We will not drink of this cup until I drink it new in my Father's kingdom." The communion memorial has lasted over 2,000 years and will continue to be practiced in eternity. It's profound. There is something deeply spiritual that occurs when we participate in the Lord's Supper with the right spirit. Jesus said, "For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in them." I can't fully explain it because I don't fully understand it. But I know something mysterious, something very significant happens when we participate in this memorial. One more thing. When you eat this bread and drink this cup, you draw near to the cross. And if you look closely, you will see your name written on that cross.
Amen.
Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom that you can set up a time that we can come to your cross and that we can partake in the bread and the cup. Thank you for all you do for us. Help us to have open hearts and humble hearts when we do this. Amen.
Amen.
And it says, one more thing. I had the wisdom from the Spirit, and it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. It says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit.
Thank you, Jim. As Jesus and his disciples were gathered in the upper room for the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and broke it, passed it among them, saying, this is my body broken for you. Eat of it, all of you. And in like manner, the cup, after they had eaten, he blessed it, passed it among them, saying, this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for the remission of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to number 600. Happy birthday, America. America the beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of green, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
Number 599. Say, I'm going to call an audible on this one. My throat just gave out on me, and I'm afraid it wouldn't hold up for a song. It wouldn't be special, I'll tell you that. It might not even be music. So, Brother Jim, if you have our scripture reading, we'll just continue with the service.
Okay, the scripture this morning is taken from Matthew, chapter 13, verses 36 through 43. It said, then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin in all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Well, I hope that everyone enjoyed your 4th of July yesterday. We love America. And we're grateful to have a president that loves America. We're continuing on here in Matthew, and this may seem like kind of a repeat of part of what we've already done, but it's not. It's similar, but it's not the same. So as we get into this, we see that Jesus is continuing on with his message. He had been preaching the parables, and as he had been preaching the parables, then even the disciples themselves did not understand everything that he was saying. And so it says he went back into the house. Now, he had been in the house before, we remember, and his mother and brothers came, and he said, "Who are my mothers and brothers?" Those who hear and obey the word of God. Those are my mother, my brother, my sister. And now he goes back into the house after talking more and teaching more through parables. And this one parable he had given about the weeds and the tares mixed together. And someone of his servants asked, didn't you plant good seed? Well, yeah, I did. Well, then why are there tares in there? The enemy has done this. And now we're getting this explanation of what he's talking about. The wheat is the good seed. The farmer in this case is Jesus himself. He is the one that sowed the good seeds. Jesus is the one who always gives us what is good, what is right, what is holy, what we need instead of necessarily what we want. And that's one of the reasons why he says, be content with such as you have. Often we want something different than what we've got. And when we think that way, we forget to be thankful for what we have. And we should always be thankful for what we have. I don't think that there's any one of us in here that can honestly say that if we got what we deserved, we'd be burning in hell. That's just a fact, folks. If we got what we deserved as sinners, because everyone in here is a sinner. Everyone out there is a sinner. There's no one that can say they never committed a sin. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stole anything? Have you ever, even our thoughts can be a sin. In fact, Jesus said that if you're angry with your brother, it's the same as if you've murdered him. That's pretty serious, folks. And so we have to, as the scripture says, even keep our thoughts under control of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So if we got what we deserved, we would all be burning in hell for all of eternity. But because of Jesus' goodness, because of his righteousness, because of his holiness, because of what he did for us on the cross, when he took our sins upon himself and paid the debt for us, then all we had to do was put our faith in him. When we put our faith in what he did for us, when we trusted that he is the Son of God, when we believed that because he is the Son of God and because he was in the flesh as God, he was able to go to that cross to shed his blood, to take on the agony of the suffering of all of our sin and all of our sinfulness and pay that debt for us, then we are set free. Now, folks, that's where the entire principle of freedom comes from. It's from God. When God first made this world, when he made man, he made Adam and Eve perfect. There was no sin. Everything was perfect. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time fathoming what that would be like. When I think of perfect, a lot of times I think of relaxation and no one cursing, no one fighting. But that's just human aspect. This was spiritually as well as physically perfect. Everything was perfect. So perfect that God came down and walked through the garden with Adam and talked to him. Wow, can you imagine that? But in heaven, folks, we get to walk with Jesus. We get to sit down at the table with him. We get to enjoy. You talk about freedom. And all the while we're doing that, we will know that we deserve to be in hell. But because of Jesus. You talk about someone who should be thankful. I mean, if you've ever read any descriptions of hell, where there's fire that's never quenched, gnashing of teeth, as the scripture said today, hell is a horrible, horrible place. And if you've ever been burned, even a little, you know how bad that hurts. And that's going to happen forever. Going to be in that furnace forever. And Jesus took all that away for us. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I'm in glory. Wow. Not only did he take on all of our sins and cleanse us. The Bible says that through his blood we become white as snow. Pure, holy. Wow. And with that pureness, that holiness, he's given us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to guide us through all truths and to help us to become more righteous and more holy. The tares is the devil and the children of the devil. Folks, there are demons just like there's angels that are working in the spiritual realm around us. They're always fighting each other. They're always fighting for your soul and my soul. The demons will often whisper in your ear and try to pretend like they're talking for Jesus. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says even the devil can appear as an angel of light. We have to know the scriptures, folks, because the devil is good at trickery. He's good at tripping you up if you don't know what's going on. What did Satan do when Jesus was tempted by him? He used scripture and took it out of context. And if Jesus had not known the true meaning, he could have gotten in trouble. But of course, he was God in the flesh. But at that point, he was tempted just like we are. And yet, without sin. I mean, isn't that amazing? How many of us can say that every time we've been tempted, we did not sin? Anybody in here say that? I didn't think so. And I'm glad, because if you had, we're going to have a talk after church. Jesus did all that for us. Why? Out of love. Out of love. He wants us in his family. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to talk with him. He wants us to spend eternity with him in heaven. Just like the meditation this morning. Very good. Talking about, the communion and commune. You think what communion is. Communion is like a conversation. It's like spending time with God. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what Christianity is all about, is spending time with God, spending time with Jesus, learning of him more and more through his scripture, studying, getting deeper and deeper into what is this meaning of this scripture? What's the deeper meaning of this scripture? What do you want of me, Jesus? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? I will walk with you. I will talk with you. I will obey whatever you say, Lord. That's what Christianity is, folks. But the tares come along and they say, you shouldn't read that. You know, that's good for you. It really is. But wouldn't you rather sit down and relax? Wouldn't you rather take a nap? Wouldn't you rather eat some ice cream? wouldn't you rather sit down and watch TV? Just relax. Take it easy. You don't really need that. I mean, you already know it, right? The preacher talked about it, and you've read that before, so you don't need to just keep into that. Just relax. Take it easy. And you know, there's another famous saying, all it takes for bad to happen is for good men to do nothing. And that's what the demons want. They want us to do nothing as Christians. They don't want us to go out and share the gospel. They don't want us to dig deeper into the scripture. They don't want us to have a deep and paralyzing prayer life. It's paralyzing to demons. They can't get in. They can't break in. When we are close to God, when we walk with God, the demons cannot even whisper to you because they're bounced off by the power of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit that walks with you and talks with you. When you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you don't have anything to worry about demons. They will be under control because we are listening to the one voice that matters, the only voice that matters. Those tares want to destroy the whole crop of wheat. Let me ask you something. If you have a piece of land, let's say you garden it 1 year, and then the next year you just let it go, you don't do anything. And the next year you let it go and you don't do anything. And the next year you let it go and what happens to that piece of property? Turns to weeds. And sometimes weeds that you can't even mow down. You have to get out the big equipment and cut it down. Folks, the same thing happens in our spiritual life if we don't tend to that. If we don't tend to our spiritual life, the weeds, the tares grow up in our spiritual life. We become weaker and weaker and weaker as Christians. And I fear that's what's happened to the church over the last 50 to 70 years. We've become weaker and weaker and weaker in the Spirit of God. We have chose to believe that we're okay. I'm okay, you're okay, it's okay. We've chosen to believe that, well, somebody else will take care of the hard part. We've chosen to believe that, oh, there are no real demons, there are no real angels. All of that's make-believe, right? And all we have to do is just sit back and God will take care of everything. Folks, that's not what God's plan is. That's what Satan's plan is. God appointed man to till the garden, to till the land and take care of it. And in that expression, he's saying, till your garden, your heart, till your land spiritually, take care, be prepared, put on the full armor of God and get out there and fight the spiritual battle. Because there is a battle going on, folks. It's raging around us right now. Communism is trying its best to get its ugly head in leadership in America. And we often just let it happen. Look at how many that call themselves Americans and that are in positions of senators, congressmen, that call themselves socialists, socialist Democrats. First of all, there's no such thing. If you're a Democrat, you're a Democrat. If you're a socialist, you're a socialist. They're trying to combine the two and take over the Democratic Party. I'm sorry. That doesn't work for me. You know where that comes from? It comes from hell. Communists are anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-religion. And that's what socialism is, folks. Free this, free that. I'm sorry, God said you have to work and toil for what you get. It's not a free ride, folks. If we want to keep the freedom that God established in America, we have to stand up and fight for it. I served in the military. Bob served in the military. Fred served in the military. Jim served in the military. I know there are others here that have served and stood to fight against those very things. Now they're within our country. Not without. They're within. And it's time for Christians to do spiritual battle. If we get on our knees and cry out to God, if we get on our knees and say, Lord, it's time. We need you to invade the leadership in America. We need you to intervene. We need you to come and to wipe out communism in America. God will hear our prayers and he will answer. This nation was dedicated to God. The First Continental Congress, that was one of the first acts they did. They went to a small chapel. The entire leadership of the nation, the new nation, they all went to that little chapel and got on their knees and cried out to God and dedicated this nation to him. And they said, Lord, as long as we honor you, this nation will be great. And no greater truth has ever been spoken. And the farther we let Satan lead us away from God's principles, from God's truth, the less great this nation has become. Folks, it's time for the church to wake up. It's time for us to get on our knees and cry out to God. Because only God can save us and keep the freedom that we enjoy in this nation. If you want your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren to have the same freedoms in this nation that we do, you better get on your knees and cry out to God. Because the devil is working hard to destroy it, to take it away. We need to do spiritual battle. And spiritual battle happens when we get on our face, when we humble ourselves before God, when we confess our faults, our sins before God, and repent and turn from our wicked ways and cry out to God. And then it says he will heal our nation. Our nation needs healing. And it's up to us, the church. It's not up to the politicians, folks. It's up to us, the church. Because the problem we have is not a money problem. We don't have a power problem. We have a sin problem. It's a spiritual problem at its core. And only spiritual people can fight it. Will you stand with me and be one of those spiritual leaders that makes a commitment to cry out to God for our nation? Think about it as we close this morning. Brother Bob.
Our invitation hymn this morning is number 371, Reach Out to Jesus. If you have a need this morning, if you need prayer, if you'd like to confess that Jesus is Lord and make him Lord of your life, come while we sing. Let's stand.
Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. Faithful and true, walking by our side in his
His love we hide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, He's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to Him today. Reach out to Jesus, He's reaching out to you.
Hopefully this is working. Is it? Nope. So I was looking at things, and the Lord told me to see if there's a spark in the ignition. Well, there was. Went straight to the coil, and a nice hot spark. So I'm scratching my head. This is about midnight, Friday night. So go inside the house and pray about it. And believe it or not, the Lord came to me and said, check that wire that goes from the coil to the distributor. Spins around, sends a spark to all the individual spark plugs. So I checked the wire, and there's a good hot spark. Now check coming out of the distributor. Nothing. There was not a spark coming out of the distributor cap. I have never, ever seen a distributor cap fail like this. Usually it'll start missing, it'll start backfiring, it'll start, the engine won't run. This thing shut off like turn the key off. Everybody said, no, it can't be that. So I put a new, had my son pick up a rotor, which is the thing that started the distributor cap. Brought it back, put a new rotor in. I thought the rotor had gone bad because I couldn't get it copied out. No, it could. New rotor, put the old cap on, nothing. So my son started unplugging the wires and put the wires, and we didn't even and screwed the thing down and held the cap on it, and I turned the key and the thing fired right up. I can show you that cap, and no one in here will be able to see the issue with it. I even tested it with a meter and tested it okay. What happened? I don't know. But the bottom line is when we go to the Lord first in all things, that He will honor us.
Amen.
I just want to encourage each and every one of you all with all your, everything you do, talk to the Lord about it. First. Put Him first in all things.
Amen.
So, was that a blessing in this time? I think it was a blessing. I think that far can do a fail. Going on the way. And halfway there, and there we are. I think the Lord allowed it to fail. I think Satan actually did it, but He allowed Satan to do it. To me, it's supernatural because it makes no sense. Makes no sense. But it was a blessing in disguise. We take it that way. And the Lord wanted me to share this with you all this morning because prayer works.
That's right.
Amen.
Prayer works. It works. It works. Put all your burdens upon the Lord as He has instructed us to do. Everything. Short of money, put that burden upon the Lord. Health issues, put that burden upon the Lord.
Amen.
You name it. Put the burden, if it's a burden to you, upon the Lord. Because He tells us to do that. So, I'm done preaching now.
Praise the Lord.
So anyway, I just, Lord wanted me to share that with you this morning. I encourage you to pray. So,
amen.
As we have known, prayer is important. We would love for you to join with us in prayer on this trip that Mitch we'll come back safely on Friday, that nothing will happen to the airplane, that the vehicle will run just fine all the way through and back.
Yeah.
Renee's flying down. I have to drive my uncle's car back. It has to come back to Indiana, so she's going to be driving it back. So we just prayer. I ask for prayer of agreement. You all agree with us in this prayer, and it will happen.
Yeah. After we're off the air, I'm going to ask everybody to make a circle of prayer if you want to join us.
There you go.
So we'll do that in a few minutes.
I agree.
Then would you dismiss us, Mitch?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's pray for dismissal here. Father God, thank You so much for Your blessing this morning, Your presence here among us. Lord, we are so blessed.
Yes, we are.
And the blessing all comes from You. Yes. We can't praise You or thank You enough. The psalmist said, let everything with breath praise the Lord.
Yes.
So, Lord, help us to be content, but not to be fooled and lulled into inactivity. Lord, activate Your church, Your warriors.
Yes.
Put us to work, crying out for our nation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joined heirs with Jesus as we travel in.